Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay, back from vacation, here to cover everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We had a big historic weekend over the weekend, and when we get no rest, because we go to Japan for UFC on Fuel 8. We'll cover both of those things. We'll talk about how you probably shouldn't smoke pot and instead perhaps do TRT, because it's easier to get away with it, and anything else that breaks as far as news by the end of the show. Big, huge weekend this weekend, guys. I think it couldn't have been scripted any better had they just written it down and made it a pro wrestling match between Ronda Rousey and Liz Carmouche.
The big comeback from the million-dollar dream sleeper hold?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that neck crank, that was in tight. Sean, do you think she had it?
It looked really deep. The head was turning the other way, and I think the biggest mistake is that she should have kept the hands palm-to-palm, but she switched over to rear naked, and then that gave Ronda enough
space
to get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Ronda's toughness in that win over Carmouche, I don't think it can be underestimated, though. And a lot of people, you know, they look at her and they see the makeup, the lipstick. They put her out there in the evening gown when they're doing promotion. And I get they're going to do that, and you're going to try to make some money by doing that. A lot of people tend to forget, or maybe don't even realize, how tough that girl is. If you didn't see any of the UFC prime times, this girl has been fighting essentially her entire life now.
Since she was three.
Been thrown on the ground at, you know, the judo matches that she won. She was fighting against men because she was beating all the girls. They said that's not fair, so they put her against the guys. She was beating all the guys. But in that process, of course, she's going to get thrown down. She's going to get beat up. She's going to be in tough situations. And a lot of other fighters, male fighters too, get caught in that crank, and they're probably tapping before the arms are even underneath because of the leverage and the pressure.
It happened
that night,
that
was on her
Ken.
Face. Yeah, earlier, earlier in the night.
Tapped to the exact same thing that Uriah Faber put him in.
Yep, the exact same choke.
And he didn't have the choke in as well as I think. I'm sorry, he didn't have it across the face as tightly as Carmouche did in that title fight at the end of the night.
Well, when it's across the face, you're just going to get a lot more pain on the jaw. And when it's under the chin, you're going
to
go out.
Right, so you're going to put him to sleep. Yeah. But I think some people would say that a lot of fighters would have tapped just to the way that her face, I mean, her face was, she had it cranked all the way to the side. She just didn't simply have it squeezed.
Yeah. And if you're not somebody who follows the kind of aftermath of these fights, Liz actually was pushing so much pressure on the jaw, it popped Ronda's mouthpiece out. So there's actually a bite mark in Liz's arm from the pressure she put on herself.
Oh, that's a DQ. Are we going to have a no contest?
Yes, it's going to be a no contest.
Well, she didn't like bite down in the arm.
No. It was just because of the pressure she was putting on the jaw, and the mouthpiece was gone. And so, yeah, it was a lot of pressure. But I think that's what that match needed. She needed to be tested. She was tested, and she won with 11 seconds left in a brutal armbar. I mean, for people who don't train, that move is essentially two moves in one. It's a key lock to break the arm free, so you submit him once and then submit him a second. It's a brutal
yeah,
because
she was in armbar, then she kind of went up to almost like a full mount, what we call the S mount, where you have one leg off.
Yep.
And then she readjusted that elbow and then pulled the armbar again. Now, you big jiu-jitsu fans would probably like that 180 spin armbar the other
the
way.
The other way,
but
yeah.
that's a little bit too much jizz for my taste.
Well,
so.
I don't know if it was too much jizz. The problem is everybody knows exactly what she's doing, so maybe more of the interesting armbar she can't pull off. But she's still going in there to do it every single time. Carmouche knew.
Great transition.
You
man.
Saw the fear in her body language, Carmouche lying on the ground. She knew she couldn't let go. As soon as that arm's gone, that's it. She knew it was coming the entire fight, still gets caught into it. That's what is amazing about Ronda Rousey at this point. And is it going to stop? I mean, there's going to be people that are going to keep paying to see if she's going to be able to keep doing this, because she's 8-0 now, correct?
I don't think you're going to be able to stop her arm bar, because in that prime time or whatever it was, that she even admitted she's been doing that move. That's her signature move since she was like, what, 5, 8?
Sure, but Sean, you would admit this. That's the essence of this sport that you're watching. Somebody who is, it's the Bruce Lee quote.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of somebody who knows 10,000 moves. I'm afraid of the guy who does one move
10,000
times.
Exactly.
Yeah, and she's done that clearly 10,000 times.
Oh, way over, yeah.
And here's the problem is I think we saw and I know Eric's going to be a lot more versed in this than I am, but I think we saw a lot of the maneuvering you would do in those situations. Ronda just rolled right through everything. She kept going with her. You're going to roll your, I'm just going to keep rolling with you. You're going to shift your positioning. I'm just going to shift mine. It seems like she's figured out every counter to the counter, and she's just going to be able to stay there with you and keep rolling around. Sean?
Well, the mistakes that she's making, and, you know, because every out, well, except for probably Anderson, people have holes in their games, you know, so.
Except for Anderson.
Because
the only hole in this game is going to be age, whenever that comes in.
Exactly. But, like, you know, what she was doing, which is a judo common thing to do, is have, like, that headlock toss or the hip toss. And so when you throw in somebody with the headlock and you end up on that side control with the headlock, it's really easy to get the back. And what Carmouche did, which was very brilliant, instead of going for the outside far leg hook, she was going on the inside leg hook, which we're able to give her the cross body control. Now, that's very important when you're taking somebody's back. So what I'm trying to say is I don't think anyone can stop her armbar, but I think the way to beat her is get her, choke her, submit her, knock her out before she gets your arm. Because once she has your arm, it's game over. She's going
to
armbar.
You're 1,000% right, Ken. She knows every counter to the counter to the counter. And her favorite move is in those situations, if Carmouche was able to get up and essentially try and spike her, Ronda's favorite counter to that is to put you face down and go belly to belly and tap you that way. So, yeah, she's going to – if she's got that arm, she's taking it with her.
Yeah.
She's been in the cage for all of her fights for a total of 12 minutes and 48 seconds.
Almost half of those were in
the title
fight.
We almost went to
UFC.
A second round,
we
though.
Almost.
I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool, but, it, you know – you know, Carmouche, excellent job on tapping because now she's – not no broken arm, nothing. She
and I want to see her again.
Yeah, she's able to fight again. I mean, it's smart. You know, I tell my guys all the time, it's not worth. I mean, if the UFC builds online, maybe it might be, but a broken arm is just.
Well, I don't know if it's ever going to be worth it against Ronda Rousey when you roll her around and counter her for the better part of 3 minutes and nothing worked. She's still in the same spot. She's doing that thing that we always talk about. You drag somebody into your game. You're going to keep rolling me around? Fine. Look at all the energy you're expending because eventually you're going to get sweaty. And that's the interesting thing about Rousey, too, is she's a submission player that doesn't care if her opponent gets sweaty or wet because that's going to help because the only defense they really have is to hold their own arm and try to hold on for dear life. The more you roll around, the more you get sweaty, the worse it is for you because you're tired and now you're slippery and she's going to try to grab that arm and she's probably got it already. It's just how long it's going to take. I mean, the only thing Carmouche could do there is try to wait for that round to end, and I don't think it would have been smart in that position
no,
she was in,
no.
even with just 11 seconds to go.
Well, because she would have needed both arms to do takedowns. And
that would have been the longest 11 seconds of her life, too.
Yeah, for sure. Rousey walks out with $90,000. Liz walks out with $12,000. I know Sean posted on Facebook this week that he doesn't think it's fair that Benson.
No. It was a question. Do you think it's fair?
Yeah, but when you ask questions,
what?
They're always loaded. You know, that's how coaches ask questions. Coaches ask loaded questions that they know the answer to. You think it's unfair, right?
No, okay, I don't think it's fair.
Did I think it was unfair for Ronda Rousey to make more money than Benson Henderson, right?
That was the question.
Okay, however, in that question.
And Benson's last fight, too, by the way.
However, in that question, you don't necessarily point out the fact that she only got $45,000 to show up and $45,000 to win. So she actually had to do something to get the other half. And I think in that case, she ended
well,
in the but first.
John Fitch can't feed his family on that money.
I understand.
$90,000.
Well, in his 7 houses. I get all of that. I understand your point, but I would say while Benson is a great fighter, puts on some exciting fights, Ronda ends this stuff in the first round. People want to see that stuff.
True.
And this was a historic moment that I think you wanted to reward. And I'm sure Liz got more money than is on this piece of paper because that happens very often. But I think you wanted to award that stardom. And I'm going to tell you this, and you can send me hate mail all you want on our Facebook or Twitter page at Wow Show. Ronda Rousey is a bigger star than Benson Henderson, period, end of statement.
I would have to agree with you.
Well, and she headlined a pay-per-view. Wasn't Benson's last title fight was FX? Or
Fox, yeah.
I mean, still, that's a huge platform, and Benson,
I'm not knocking Benson. I'm just telling you unequivocally she's a bigger star.
No, she was out. She was sent out there to go make money and get pay-per-view dollars, and when you do that, you give them more money. And again, that was a 45-win to get to that $90,000.
And I get it, dude. If you're doing something brilliant and the UFC sees it, they'll promote you, they'll market you, and they'll do it the right way. what is Benson Henson? What is Benson's signature stuff? What do we know about him? Like, when he finishes fights, I think the last time he's finished anything was a guillotine.
His guillotine is good. His cardio is for days, and he's very exciting to watch.
You're right. Does he finish a lot of fights?
You know that when we're dealing
one of his highlight reels is him getting ninja kicked off the wall. You know,
and you were on vacation last week when we talked about the big cuts coming. They're cutting 100 fighters. I'm not saying they're going to cut Benson Henderson, but every fighter needs to take notice that this is a performance-based sport. Yep. You need to win, and you need to win in an exciting fashion that gets people to put their $60 down and watch you win again.
The better question is looking at the payouts if we want to start down that road and transition to the next fight. God. Is were you happier spending your $60 to see Ronda Rousey fight or watch Lyoto Machida and Dan Henderson dance around for the better part
of 3 minutes?
Dude, that
was the fight of the year. What are you talking about?
Under no circumstances did I want to see Lyoto fight John Jones again after Saturday night. Under no circumstances do I want to see Lyoto Machida fight John Jones again.
Do you know that Machida even actually said that he's not in a rush for the title shot now?
Why would he? Here's an interesting stat that you probably picked up because if you didn't sleep through all three rounds. The total strikes for that fight, would you guys care to guess? Total of the two guys combined.
38.
76.
That was close.
In three rounds, two
in
guys.
In three rounds, two guys, 54
and
to 28.
And 10 of those were Henderson leg kicks that he stopped throwing after the first round for some
His
reason.
Leg kicks look so uncomfortable.
But they were hurting him. They were working. You could tell.
Like,
he has no hips when it comes to kicking.
I love Dan Henderson. I wanted to see him win because I thought that would
He wanted to fight. You see the way he was moving his hands in the second round? He's like, come on, man,
he's getting super frustrated. But the other thing, as a coach from that perspective, you know all he's doing is loading up his right. That's all he did for 15 minutes. Like, he knows it's coming. Dan, do something
Dan
else.
Dan needed 25 minutes in that fight. 10 more minutes to get that right hand out. Look, I like both the fighters. Have we had a number one contenders match that we've seen where we're like, yeah, that guy's ready? It seems like every time we see one, I mean, Gustafsson was the last guy that we talked about as maybe
if he comes off
fight.
With a spectacular win, I think he might steal the number one.
Either one
spot.
Of them. If Musasi annihilates him, I think you put Musasi in.
And Gegard's no joke either.
Not
man.
That Dana White hasn't done it before, but that would be pretty.
Did you watch this fight?
Yeah, I know, that would be pretty bold of Dana to take away the number one shot after
I would
he
with
said,
that performance. I'd be like, look, dude, that was boring.
I wouldn't disagree with it, and I'm usually one of those guys
you're
going to
get choked out again by Jones. We don't want to see it.
When dumb people say this should have been a split decision because that means you really usually don't know what you're talking about, but this fight should
well, here's,
have been a
I mean,
split
let me
decision.
Just, frame
I thought
this
fight was a straight-up draw. I was like, what's going on here?
For the fans who aren't into the metrics part, which I'm kind of a dork about, Court McGee making his debut at 170.
That was another boring fight, right?
Sure, but he landed 166 on his own against Josh Neer. Yeah.
Three rounds, one guy,
166.
And this was a combined of
That's combined 70, 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, wow, that's horrible.
Terrible.
How interesting was it, and I'm not sure where you guys watched, was Joe Rogan's commentary about halfway through the second. He goes, I'm not sure what you do here, but Dan needs to just at least stand there so Lyoto's not backing away.
He was doing that.
That was good. That was good advice, actually.
That was good advice, except for when he gets towards the end, when you can clearly tell that this is a terrible fight that is leading into their most historic moment in the history of the company. And he's like, I just think a lot of people don't appreciate the fighting style of Lyoto Machida. No kidding. Yes, a lot of people don't appreciate the karate point scoring system of Lyoto Machida.
I don't mind that system with Lyoto Machida, and it was hard in that fight. It seems like almost any other fighter could have stolen that decision. But Dan Henderson was only loading up that right. And he seems like a smarter fighter. Seems like a guy that should have been able to steal that fight the way Machida was fighting that night. And he just wasn't able to do it. So, yeah, I don't care that that's your fighting style because a lot of other guys will make you pay. John Jones will make him pay if all he does is pitter-patter around and try to throw point kicks. He's going to pay, and he's going to pay dearly. So, I get it. You've got a strategy. I'm not going to be mad at him for his style because that is his style, and Joe Rogan was clear there. I don't have to like it, and I'm upset that Dan Henderson wasn't able to pull the trigger. This guy hasn't been in the cage, Joe, for over a year, and age is certainly not on his side.
No, it's not. But I didn't think he looked like out of shape or tired or anything like that.
How do you know he didn't? Neither of them really did a whole lot.
It was a boring fight.
It was a terrible fight. I'm not trying to defend it.
Triumph MMA has more going on in the first 60 seconds every class than happened in that entire fight.
Oh, hell yeah, we do.
I see.
At the end of a two-hour class, I assure you there's more than 70 punches thrown in that class, for sure. Uriah Faber gets back on track against Ivan Menjivar with an awesome standing rear naked choke with a body lock, which is always fun to see. And my favorite part about any time a guy does this is when they have a body lock, they obviously can't immediately release, so they have to celebrate on your back. That's
He held his arm up. Yeah! Look at this guy! I beat him! Like he's a trophy.
He's literally a stepping stone, right? I mean, you're standing on top. Well, you're on top of this guy. It's kind of funny.
Well, that shows the sportsmanship in MMA, too, because once you lose, you could conceivably just drop that guy. And, but he was nice enough to hold him up while he celebrated.
The aftermath of that is that Demetrius Johnson is injured, so he is out of the fight with John Dodson. Dodson obviously going to wait for that fight, so they have replaced it with Uriah Faber against Scott Jorgensen, which is a fight I'm very excited to see.
Yeah, you know what? That was a fight I've been wanting to see back when Uriah had the belt in WEC, and Scott was making his way up, and then, you know, they merged with UFC, and I've always wanted to see this match, and so I'm kind of glad it's happening.
And, Sean, here's what's fascinating about Faber. He is 6-0 in his last non-title fights, 0-5 in his last title fights.
Yeah.
That's interesting stat.
Yeah.
Him and Kenny Florian should have some kind of club. They should.
Yeah.
They should make I bet every day he and Kenny Florian go to Toys R Us, and they stand in that aisle, and they just lift up those little WWE belts and hand them to each other.
Yes,
just to feel
when.
A little bit better.
Remember when. And then the
best 10 minutes of their day.
Kicking off the main card, for those of you who dislike Josh Koscheck, which seems to be a lot of people, very excited to see the return of Robbie Lawler to the UFC by a KO of Josh Koscheck.
Okay, I have
to ask. Question.
No, I'm going to ask you, Sean. I know you don't really like him.
Yeah.
That was still an early stoppage.
You know what?
What?
Yeah, it was a bit early, but Koscheck was looking like an idiot, looking up, getting his head tagged away. He was moving.
He was trying to do something,
but he was getting punched by Robbie Lawler, dude. Come on.
You guys know that I love to deal in facts. Factually speaking, I think it was a tad early. However, the other fact that you're not necessarily giving homage to is the fact that you cannot, under any circumstances, let Robbie Lawler touch your chin. You just can't do it.
Again and again.
At any point.
But that was it, though. Again and again, if we want to look at this realistically and with the facts, look at that sequence. He landed two punches.
No, there was one good power, and then there was two that followed up.
I counted two. We might have to look at it again.
We're going
a little long here in segment one, and that's totally fine because I just want to point out, when I watch things like the Bermudez-Grice fight on the undercard.
That's why I don't watch the undercards.
You know, where Grice. It was an awesome fight, but Grice took an insane amount of damage.
Yes.
He was out on his feet like 5 different times, so. Like, I would like to see some sort of a balance. Sure, it was a little bit.
Okay, if I was reffing the Koscheck fight, I would have let Lawler probably punch Koscheck 20 more times to do make sure there's no, not 20, okay, 18, and make sure that this was a knockout.
To be fair, though, 100%. I think Koscheck's one of those guys, and I know he's not a champion. He's been in those fights sometimes. He's a guy you got to give a little room, and I don't think he was given the room he was deserved to have in that fight.
I don't disagree with you. Again, the aftermath of this fight I find very interesting. If you look at the UFC rankings this week, Robbie Lawler rockets into the top 10 but doesn't rocket above Josh Koscheck, which I thought was really interesting.
Early stoppage.
He smashed him.
He looked pretty good, but we didn't get to see him finish it.
Uh-huh.
You can call the segment now if you want.
Going to. All right, when we come back, segment two, we are going to go to Japan and talk about Brian Stann and Wanderlei Silva and see what that's going to be all about. Brian Stann making his return to 205. Hasn't been there since 2010, so this will be interesting. He says it's one and done, but as anyone who knows how age has a factor on you, that might not be a fact. We'll be back. It's Way of the Warrior. Tell me that you love me so. You tell me.